Yeah, and I was playing with it. So that was good. I got some new ones. Like, thank you for the magnificent outcome. You know, I was doing that 68 seconds we did last week, right? Thank you for the magnificent outcome of my marriage. I thought, oh, well, that's easy. I love my kids. but it's, again, I was using the 68 things. So before I went to get my hair done, it doesn't mean that I have to focus just on hair. You just want to get in the vortex, that feeling place, the highest frequency of gratitude that you can before you do any segment. And, you know, I've already shot up rockets of desire on hair. I mean, you do that every day, you brush it, right? Or look at it, or see somebody that you like. So that's already a given. I don't really have to focus there, because if I focus on that, I'll probably screw it up. You get it? It'll be like, oh, what if I don't know what I want? What if I pick the wrong thing? What if I don't like it? What if it takes too long? So remember, you don't have to go that path. Choose the path where you just pull your vibration up. That's where your whole day can just really... And so actually, Alan gave examples of that in his ability to just flow with whatever's happening and not be agitated by it. Cool. Alan, when he was talking about being woken up two mornings in a row and his week off, right? But he, even though he didn't realize he was making a choice, he was making a choice at some level. I could be upset. Even in his telling of it, he was telling it from humor, not from complaining, right? Did you get that?
Yeah.
That's choice too. It's like we're making good choices a lot, but we never pay attention to that. We always think a choice is like the big one that we could possibly screw up.
Yeah. But I had one like that, and he turned out to be my magnificent obsession. I was very happily married to him for a long time. So it's a good choice.
Yeah, and you can reframe it all as a good choice, or as and if you can't get that far, you can always reframe as a good learning experience. Right? Now I have real preference on what I don't want, but the. The place to do that is the way we just did it, with a big grin and laughter. So that's the what Abraham teaches about segment intending, or getting in the vortex before you do anything. But you can get there any way you want. 68 seconds of gratitude, and you're there.
Was that something y'all discussed last week? What's the 68?
That was here, right?
Yes. We started with the 17 seconds. Right.
Yeah, that's Abraham teaches that.
So that's 4:17.
Yeah, that 17 seconds. If you're in a frequency, an emotional frequency with your thought for 17 seconds, it attracts the next thought. So if you're in grief thought, or you're in I got cheated thought, or you're in I'm in a struggle thought, or I'm in hatred thought, or anger thought, in 17 seconds you will attract more thoughts that feed that frequency. If you're in gratitude thought, if you're in curious thought, if you're in delightful thought, if you're in funny thought, in 17 seconds you're going to create a lot more thoughts along that line. And then Abraham says, so if you go 68 seconds of a feeling place, if you're controlling your thoughts for 68 seconds to feed a certain resonance, then you manifest a mood. So feelings are, you know, more, you can feel lots of things, right? Like you can be at a funeral and you're really sad and you can laugh too. So feelings can flow and sway and twist and turn, but a mood is a little more stable. So if you have a mood of positive expectation, pre-calm. If you have a mood of anxiety, it's very hard to pop out of it, because you've got it for 68 seconds, resonate at a different feeling place to bring in a new mood. Did I answer your question?
Yeah,
I know. Okay, good.
I'm just wondering how to implement that. So like getting up in the morning, I can put the timer on for 68 seconds and just kind of get to a feeling place of what it would like to be, to have magnificent outcomes for the day at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Picture some goals that you have for the day and just like what it would feel like to have achieved those or something.
Well, I'll tell you don't even need the clock.
Okay.
If you, before your feet leave the bed, just lay there and think of everything you can think of to feel good about. And you'll just know you're there, because you'll be all buzzy and happy and you'll be ready to jump up out of the bed. I mean, there's a big difference in feeling and how you get up, yes? And you can easily get yourself there. You don't actually need the time. When you feel like it's fully landed and no other countering thoughts are getting in, you're there. And so Abraham does teach, though, you know, start the night before. Because if you go to bed in chaos, or if you're fretting over something as you go to sleep, you're not going to wake up in high frequency. So if you get yourself in a yummy spot before you go to sleep, you know, if your last thoughts are yummy gratitude thoughts when you're dozing off, then chances are you're going to wake up in a higher vibe. Although, my personal experiences, because of the Monday class, and I think even in here, a lot of times I ask, hey, if there's stuff that can be worked out in my sleep, please do it in my sleep. Like, I don't want it in my day reality. And so sometimes I wake up all like, holy cow, what was that about? But I know how to get myself started for the real-time day, and I know when I'm there. I mean, there's no mistake in it. When you feel really good, you're not going to stumble, you're not going to spill things, you're not going to bump into things, you're not going to, you know, feel dragging. You feel eager. So mood, you know when you're in a good mood.
That's why it's so important to have a good night's sleep.
Well, or, I mean, my sleep patterns are crazy lately. There's a lot of different, of course, I'm always inviting to play with higher frequency too. So it can be really a little bit interesting for my physical form to keep up with my intentions. And so my sleep patterns are really erratic. But always it gives me a choice of what I want to resonate in that. So I used to believe that. But if I'm power surging all night and not all night, but a lot of the night in vibration, or if I'm woken up many times, I no longer make it wrong or believe it will be a problem. Okay, so my mood now is not dependent on circumstance. How much sleep you got is a circumstance, right? So it's just like, you know people, or maybe yourself, you go through surgery. That sucks. That's awful. It's horrible. You have to sleep in a weird place. There's noise, or people poking you. You don't feel good. There's pain. There's certain recovery time. You need people to help you. There's like no good side, right? If you really have a surgery. And unless you choose to have a good inner experience of you in it. That's it. But you don't really control the pain, the setup, the needing of help, the schedule, the other people, the goofy hospital gowns, the sounds in the hospital. You don't control everything that happens. But you can always go back to the choice of how you are. And that will give you the better feeling place in reality. Because remember, so if you have surgery and then you're in, however you manage your circumstance there is what you're evolving and magnetizing next. Does that make sense?
Helen, what about the grid that Abraham talks about? So I'm trying to understand that a little bit better. I've listened to a lot of the different segments on it on YouTube. So you have the segment, I guess you could say, right? And then you have your grid that fills in from each segment of your day. Or is the grid kind of like the path? Or is the grid like...
I haven't actually heard that clip. Are they talking about the Earth's grid?
So
manifesting grid?
I guess what she's talking about is that...
It's actually what they are talking about.
What they are talking about is that you have the segment that you're talking about, right? Throughout mm-hmm. your day that you're going to do this, that, mm-hmm. and the other. And as you make your way through your day, it's not maybe a goal, but it's the path that kind of lights up for you, the easiest path. And as you are continuing on the easiest path, that's more or less your grid, and your grid works out in the way that your mood is, I think. I'm kind of asking, but this is what I've gleaned from the conversations that I've heard them talk about it.
Okay, so, Alan, how would you define grid?
I haven't heard of this either.
No, not a, just
oh,
grid.
A grid?
In general.
To me, it's a layout, a proportioned layout, in order to break something into parts and understand it better.
Okay, so if the, so, you would actually have a grid that's small. Like think of the, in school, remember the graph paper?
Mm-hmm.
So you have little squares, right? That might be a segment. And then you have a bigger square of an even amount of squares, and then you have a bigger square, and then you have a bigger square, and then you have a bigger square. So I believe what they would be teaching is that as you go throughout your day, in each little segment, you're actually creating a massive grid.
Mm-hmm.
And so your grid would be one of least resistance, which means it would be very orderly. It would be very patterned in a way that allowed in more in one flavor. Or your grid could be a mix, and the pattern wouldn't be very clear, and you'd be getting, you'd be allowing sometimes and not allowing other times. Or, like, I'm pretty sure my earliest grids were very consistent, but not in higher vibration. So I would have to hear the way they're describing it, but that's what I see, is like the graph paper. And so the pattern that you're creating vibrationally, you can think of it as a grid, you can think of it as a geometric pattern, you can think of it as music, anything where it has repeating frequencies. So a grid has equal segments, and eventually what would happen in the beginning, each segment would be affecting the pattern of the grid.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, because we live in a really a holographic dimension, it's actually each segment encases the entire grid. And so you, when you change in one segment, like all of our intentions for this tapping experience, right? So we all have an intention for this hour and a half together. That intention, that segment intention, and however you show up in this experience actually alters all the other squares of the whole grid.
Mm-hmm.
Because your present moment changes your past and your future. So the grid wouldn't be the flat graph paper, it would be 3D. It would be
layers
and everything. And so that's one of the biggest things Abraham teaches consistently, leave the past out of it. Start right here,
mm-hmm.
right? Because most people cannot change, you can't change the present or the future if you keep going back to the old grid, the old story. It's impossible. So you either gotta stand in the present moment and tell that story differently, very differently, till you believe it differently and feel it differently, or you just disregard that and work in this one segment until you have so many positive changes in each little segment that your whole grid has changed. Science by Helen, oh God. That's really interesting to think about that. Yeah, I know my grid's entirely different.
The way I always think about my grid is like, if you were to take like a shot of Earth from space, and you know how you can kind of see like the patterns of cities like
mm-hmm.
from space? That's how I always envision my grid, is that it started here and now these are the different pathways, but this is the pathway to this, and that led to this, and now it's going here, and now it's here.
Okay.
So that's the way I always envision
mm-hmm.
my grid being. I don't
AT&T commercial.
And so that representation would be a parallel lives, other dimensions all happening at once. Right. Yeah, it's some deep stuff. I'm hoping that our consciousness and humanity, maybe not mine personally, but like my kids, that their consciousness will evolve where they can get this stuff. We just, we haven't been wired for that previously.
So the implication is that, like traditional therapy, where you go back and figure out your past and why you are the way you are, is having less and less meaning or relevancy to how we are.
It is, and they know it's not working as well. That's why there's such a big movement of energy work, because that isn't working, and the whole medical field, and even I just saw an article on this today, that, you know, they're asking doctors, how could we save the healthcare system, or how could we improve the healthcare system? And the doctors are all talking about actions that are solution-oriented, not problem-oriented. Like, our medical community spends so much time on what's wrong, and they're just learning now that, why aren't there more research on happiness? There's like boatloads on depression.
They're in fix-it mode rather than keep it right in the first place.
Mode. Prevention.
Right.
Prevention.
Right.
I mean, that's
But prevention's kind of in between. It's like we have fix-it mode, prevention, but there's something beyond that that we haven't evolved to yet on Earth. But we will. I mean, if you hear enough teachers saying meditation, how was it you said it? It's part of the, it's at the top of the something?
Oh,
the top four things.
Body, mind, food.
I think
food.
I said the food
body,
chain.
Yeah, the body, mind, food.
Food chain, right. Body,
right,
mind,
the
spirit,
pyramid.
Food chain, yeah.
Right. Yes. Because meditation, you could do it preventative for blood pressure and things, but
right.
You could also, you know, I don't do anything preventative anymore. I do it all like, ooh, how good can I feel?
Preventative is emotion.
Right.
Is your emotional feeling. Yep, your feelings are what prevents you from ailing. That's what he talked about.
Yeah. Tell her about the research with the two groups.
Yeah,
they did a week-long study with two groups, and one of the groups meditated every day for, I don't know, it was like 10 minutes or something. And at the end of the week, all their health numbers
were
4 days exponentially better
than the other group
that did not.
Who relaxed and enjoyed and et cetera, but the difference was that meditation. They said it was absolutely amazing.
It's recycling on a cellular level. That's what they're doing.
This was on the Peapock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, it'll spread more and more people. And
I think meditation is a tune-up.
A tune-up?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I think it's a reset button.
We are a biological engine, and we never, you know, we give it oil from time to time, and they need good calories, but we don't give it a tune-up. Meditation is a tune-up for this biological essence, I think.
Yeah, that's a good way to think of it.
But
there's also different levels of meditation,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's different styles of meditation. So
I think
he was talking about a specific type.
For
that
test. Different types, and they did different meditations.
Right.
In that research group?
They did the yoga and other meditations, and then the praying, a form of meditation.
And they all had that result?
They all had a positive reaction for their, it's a lifespan. So you have your genes, and within your genes, they found like a little tail hanging off. On the cellular level, right?
The genomes.
So that's your lifespan expectancy. So
right.
What they saw is that in the group that didn't have their meditation, that just relaxed and were, you know, as happy as they could be within themselves, they continued to have that little, you know, I would call it
a lifespan tail.
But the people who did go through the meditation and the prayer and all the techniques that he used, exercise and well-being, and you know, all of that, their lifespan grew.
Tail.
Like, yeah, their tail grew, you know, I don't remember what the percentage was.
It wasn't just research on meditation.
No, they did well-being. It was a complete research from doctors, psychologists, neurologists.
Right.
Everybody came in.
He's got a huge think tank of all the...
So they've been studying it for years, but he hasn't opened it to the public because it hasn't been concrete, right? They have concrete evidence yet.
Right.
I don't know. It's not published yet, I guess that's what
right.
he was saying.
Hmm. So that goes beyond preventative. That goes into creating a level of health and age.
That's
exactly
right.
That's what we're talking about.
Beyond just a media group.
Mm-hmm. And I think some of that's going out at other places too. I just heard HISD was doing yoga with some kids on an experimental program. There's less bullying, there's less fighting,
right.
The grades are going up.
Oh, and there's programs in jails, it's spreading, it's grassroots.
And Dr. Seligman did a whole thing on positive psychology, and he's working with the Army troops and stuff.
Yeah.
He's got all kinds of money.
And Nikki Fine, she I think it's Mickey Fine. She teaches meditation at, I think it's Baylor, and it's an accredited course.
Yeah.
And she goes, it's always full because they know their tests will be better.
I think the whole bottom line of any type of meditation and prayer is to be still so that we have a chance to hear that still quiet voice that we all have.
Well, there's, you know, it just, it would be, you'd have to define the style of prayer to me. Because there are people who pray a lot that are not creating except in fear. You could just, you know, I always come back to vibration. It's whatever you're doing to put yourself in that vibration. So,
I think that you can pray fear or you can pray gratitude.
Right.
And I think the reason why I think in my prejudiced opinion, the best nation in the world is because we were the first to have a Thanksgiving Day. And because we have in our money, in God we trust. Nobody goes out there bold-faced, put, you know, in God we trust, where everybody can see it and it circulates throughout the world, not just here.
Yeah.
So I think if you pray gratitude, all my prayers were always, thank you for this, thank you for that. It was never, please God, give me this. And it works. I mean, I'm so glad the rest of the world is coming around to my well thinking, because I used to be weird.
But that's what the Course in Miracles teaches. You never ask for anything in prayer. You are always grateful.
Grateful.
Appreciative. What teaches you?
The Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
I just got that.
It's a book.
Yeah.
It's a big book.
It's a channeled work.
It's
a channeled work.
Mm-hmm.